In the immediate aftermath of the disaster, a sense of unity emerged in the village of about 4,700 people. But 90.5 WESA's Oliver Morrison reports that initial coming together has given way to some deep divisions about how East Palestine should move forward.
Jess Connor grew up in East Palestine and even lives on a street named after one of her ancestors. But since the derailment, she says, some of her relationships in town have taken a turn.
Prior to the derailment, it would have just been like a cordial passing. Hi, how are you? Great. How's your family? Wonderful. Great to see you. And then that's it. But now it's almost this, oh my God, she's going to talk to me about plastics. Which I have done.
Before the Norfolk Southern train left the tracks, Conard was a speech therapist, a career she has since given up to become an environmental advocate for the group Beyond Plastics. Conard now finds herself in the middle of a rift that has emerged between residents here. On one side are those who are concerned about the derailment's long-term health impacts. They say Norfolk Southern and the EPA are not keeping them safe. On the other side are those who trust the EPA scientists' assurances that the town is safe, and they want to put the derailment behind them. Local officials have taken sides. East Palestine's Mayor Trent Conaway said on a podcast last fall that he's a part of the silent majority.
We have a small group of people that are very loud and very vocal that say they don't think it's safe, but then we have data saying that it is safe, and then they have their own data that says it's not safe.
The main group Conaway is referring to is the Unity Council for the East Palestine Train Derailment. It's led by about 15 residents who banded together to push for more action by the EPA and Norfolk Southern. Rick Chai is a member and a longtime chiropractor in the area.
So there's a lot of fighting here. You haven't been here in a while, but there are definitely two factions.
He says the mayor has been too deferential to Norfolk Southern, which is providing millions of dollars in assistance to the village.
The mayor has ignored the sick people, has kept his mouth shut.
In the weeks and months after the derailment, some business owners began to feel that Conaway and other local leaders weren't communicating clearly. Here's Diana Elzer, who owns several businesses in East Palestine.
If you go back and look at the village's Facebook page, because that's primarily how they communicate with the residents. During the derailment, there's nothing. There's virtually nothing.
Amid this developing rift, Misty Allison had heard through the grapevine that Conaway wasn't running for re-election. Given the village's current circumstances, she thought she could help. Allison moved to East Palestine, her husband's hometown, in 2017. She has a master's degree in public health and worked in health marketing for 7 years. So she was used to listening to and balancing different perspectives. For instance, she supported Norfolk Southern's $25 million investment in the local village park. But she was also concerned about ensuring the town is safe.
Both of those things can be true. Like, we need to have strong businesses. And, like, I am in support of the park. But, yes, I do want to have more testing, like, from the healthcare front.
Allison had already become one of the derailment's most public faces nationally. After an interview on Fox News, she was invited to meet with the head of the EPA and was then asked to testify before Congress twice. But it turned out that Conaway had turned in his petitions after all. For some residents, the race for mayor became the electoral manifestation of the festering divisions they had been feeling for months. The election had everyone talking, even the students at East Palestine High School, who previously had paid little to no attention to local government. Suddenly, the students were debating the mayoral race during social studies classes. Here's Keller Bupp, a junior.
A lot of people on the east side of town, you know, where the train derailment happened, you saw a lot of misty signs and stuff, because those were probably the people who had a lot worse. They were the ones who were evacuated, had the smells and stuff. A lot of people on the west side of town were Conaway signs and Conaway supporters.
Bupp's family moved out of town for 4 months because of worries about contamination. He and his parents were Allison supporters. But Lois Dugan didn't experience any health problems after the accident. Neither did any of the people she knew. She and her friend, Sandy Wales, were eating at the village's main diner recently. From where they sat, the town was doing fine.
Most of the people in town that have good sense knows that nobody asked for this and we have to work our way out of it. And we've got a lot of crybabies. I shouldn't say that because I'm going to get crucified.
Yeah, we do.
We
have a lot of crybabies.
But both Dugan and Wales supported the incumbent. Conaway declined multiple requests to be interviewed for this story, but he did speak about the election on a local podcast in September.
I have to apologize for some of the communications flaws we had at the beginning because people just didn't know. And I personally take that, you know, that responsibility on. you know, it's hard. We have a website. Our website was never used before this.
Conaway said that he had built up relationships with both state and federal officials that would serve the village if he was reelected.
We get a lot of resentment about focusing on the businesses. And, well, without businesses, you're not going to have a town. So, and without people, you're not going to have a town, too. I understand that.
Hundreds more residents ended up voting in the November election than in any previous election since the county began posting the results online. Conaway won with 57% of the vote. Despite losing, Allison thinks that, to move forward, residents on each side of the village's divide need to grapple with the other's perspective. That, on the one hand, its residents could face long-term health consequences. On the other hand is the possibility that they will be fine, and that the investments Norfolk Southern is making could leave the town better off than it was before.
You need to hold space for the positive and for the negative.
Allison's mother passed away last year in the middle of the derailment's aftermath. And Allison says, now that things have died down, she's experienced fresh waves of grief.
I did cry a lot last night. I was very overwhelmed and, you know, had like a grief ambush. Like, I miss my mom so much and I wish I could talk to her about a lot of these things.
Allison recently learned that some research suggests communities, like people, go through phases of grieving. It's given her some solace to learn that the phase the village is currently in, filled with division and rancor, is temporary and will pass.
Grief is a journey, just like how the trauma that we're going through with the train derailment, it is a journey, and it's not a linear journey.
There are still good and bad days ahead, Allison believes, but she holds out hope that the town might eventually work its way through to a more unified future. I'm Oliver Morrison in East Palestine.